I'm really expectant. And I hope you are this morning. There's always a flow. There's always a flow in God. And if you can find the stream, it can take you to a glad place. Take you to a good place. Amen? And I sense since we've come back, and the unlock has been unlocked, I really sense that we're swimming in a different stream. Amen? Okay, if you have your Bibles, go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Chapter 1. Verse 17. And I'd ask you to stand with me and declare this together. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. If you can't stand, I appreciate that for whatever reason. You should be healed now anyway. I want you to declare this with me because this is the word of the Lord to us. It's been the word of the Lord to us as a house. And this is the launching point from wherever God takes us, whatever God's doing with us. This is the launching point. Why? Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor, glory forever. Amen. Let's say that one more time. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Chris has got one of those Bibles that goes on. So Chris is still declaring. He's like, Chris, my Bible only says this. Ah, but man goes on and on and on. This is the everlasting Bible, is it, Chris? The living, oh. We joke in ADT, we say Andy's got an almost of God Bible. Because sometimes Andy's translation is different from some of the others. And we just laugh and we say, it's an AOG Bible, almost of God. We laugh about that. But anyway, now to the King eternal. I really want us, and I believe God wants us to have this picture of our God. You know, the word everlasting keeps flowing through my spirit. As I'm praying the other day, and I keep hearing this word, everlasting. I'm everlasting, Tony. I'm everlasting. In other words, I go on and on and on. No matter how much you tap into me, there's more. No matter how much you think you know, there's more. Just no matter how many blessings you've pulled down and received and think you've understood, there's more. I am unlimited. I'm a limitless God. And I want you and this house to know me as that God. Amen? There's nothing our God can't do. And I'm believing that every child in this house, every child, whether you're 64, 94, 24, or 4. Every child. This is going to become a healing zone. Not because you want it, because he declares it. We're going to show the world, we're going to show our society, he is an everlasting God. There's going to be a banqueting table in here that's never going to run out. It's going to be a food pantry. We know what that means, don't we? A food pantry that never runs out. So whatever food you need, the table's set. Amen. Whatever resources, heaven's available. Amen. Whatever depth of God you need to find is there. Amen? Amen? This is the everlasting God. Amen. You know the song? You are the everlasting God. Yep. Okay, don't sing it. I'm just singing it to you. Okay? Our God, first of all, our God is King Eternal. Our Father is a King. Our Father is a King. Our Saviour is a King. Amen? Our Saviour is also a man. He's called the man Christ Jesus, who became a King. Not King of the Jews, he's the King of the nations. Amen? He's the King of heaven. And our Father is invisible. To our eyes in this realm, he's invisible. Yet we see him working all around us. Amen? He's the visible invisible. Amen. And this King, at once upon a time, when he came down and revealed himself to Abraham and to Noah and to the other patriarchs. He then comes to Moses from the burning bush, and then religion instantly breaks out in the hearts of the people. And God has to go external. God can no longer share himself with anyone and everyone. Now he has to choose someone. And God, for a period of time, was external. And then God became, through the Christ, he became internal. He became revealed. He was revealed. So now he's been revealed. He now becomes Emmanuel, the God who is with us. But he's not just with us, he's in us. Amen? He's the God in us. And then lastly, he became the Christ in you so that you could now represent him and manifest him. So he's now the Christ who becomes visible in the physical and the material world. So now you can go and demonstrate him through the works. You can cast out demons. You can lay hands on the sick. You can serve. You can help people. And how do they know Jesus is alive? They see it through you. So you are now Christ's hands. You are his voice. You are his feet. You are his pockets. You are his representation. So that you can now, you're an ambassador. You now go and present Christ. Because it's no use God becoming being eternal if he can't manifest in the physical realm. So now, this is, he said, now the light within you must shine. Because it's the light within you that makes him visible. Amen? So you don't hide your light. What's the point of doing that? So, go to Psalm. I've got some great scriptures. And I just hope your heart is open this morning to receive what God is saying. Psalm 16 verse 6. I have been absolutely consumed with this theme. The King Eternal. It grabbed hold of me while I was praying in here. In fact, right on this spot. Anyone standing here, you may get a download. Amen? God began to speak to me about, I am eternal. Now when God speaks to us, it's because he wants to take us somewhere. It's not God's just trying to educate us, he's trying to break through into our lives and show us something of himself that we haven't yet touched. So in Psalm 16 he said, the boundary lines have fallen for me in a pleasant place. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. Surely, the boundary lines have fallen for me, and I have a delightful inheritance. Not just inheritance, but a delightful one. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Ooh. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. And I will not be shaken. So let's just look at this for a second. The boundary lines. Where's the boundary lines? They're set in heaven. And they've been transferred inside of me. The boundary lines go in my mind, by the way. If I say it can't happen, it won't happen. Not that it can't happen, it won't happen. The boundary lines are in your mind. God's got to keep rewriting what is already spoken inside your mind. Because once you can change your mind, you can see it. Amen. And you can enter into what God is revealing to you. Some of you don't see God in his fullness. You see him through fog. You see him through a circumstance, through your emotions. But to see God, your heart has to be at a place of peace. So you're not fighting what he's showing you. Because when you're at chaos internal and God's showing you something, you're saying, God, that can't happen, that can't happen, that can't happen. That won't happen to me. Maybe it'll happen to somebody else, but not to me. No, I'm showing you because I've already provided it for you. The boundary lines have already fallen. And the delightful boundary lines. God's got an inheritance for you and I. Now we've got to see the boundary lines stretch from heaven to earth. The boundary lines stretch from heaven to earth. So, Jabez, one of my favourite characters, I found myself being a Jabez. Lord, increase the boundaries. Bless me, O God, increase my boundaries. And God heard him and said, Well, actually, Jacob, if you could only see it stretches from heaven to earth, I can give you what's already been allotted to you. Because all the days ordained for me have already been settled. Right, so there are boundary lines. There are times and seasons that God extends your boundary and he opens your eyes and lets you see this delightful place. Amen? It's already been there, but you and I have to be shown what's ours. So will you be willing to make the Lord the Most High? The Most High. My heart instructs me. Have you got a heart that can be instructed? Yes. Y'all gone quiet now. You see, I like the fact that when I'm asleep, I'm still awake. What's that mean, Pastor? That means, though my body's at rest, my heart is still awake. And God's putting things inside my heart, so when I wake up, I have a consciousness of what's been sown into my heart. Whether it's through a thought, whether it's through a song, whether it's through an emotion, I can wake up and sense things, but I've never realised. I just think, have you ever woke up with a song in your heart in the morning? Yeah. Right, and you think, oh, it's just my mind. It's just my mind. God sows things, so when you wake up in the morning, it's the alarm saying, you've got mail. You've got mail on the inside. You need to open up. Think on these things, that which is good, that which is pure, that which is lovely, that which is noble. So when you wake up in the morning with a thought, think on those things. And it will guide you to a place. Who never thought of that? Example. The boundary lines have been set in a delightful place. Who wants some boundary? You all need boundaries, by the way. Who wants to discover their boundary? I think, keep talking, Pastor. Yeah, keep talking. I need boundaries because there's some places I shouldn't be. And you know, when there's boundaries in my life, it means you can't come where I am. Yeah. Because this boundary protects me. And it keeps you out. And it keeps me out of some areas I don't need to be in. I'm not free to go anywhere. In God, that is. I might have a passport and be able to travel the world, but it doesn't mean to say I should be in that country. Okay. All right. Some of you just think I'm free to walk the earth. Yeah. What are you? An Aborigine? Think you can walk the earth? No responsibilities? Though King, though our Christ is the King and is eternal, through Christ's death and his resurrection, his victory has been given to us. Yes. Amen? Yes. And out of that victory came his great and precious promises. Out of that came his great and precious promises that he's given to you and I. And part of that promise is he's given us a boundary. And it's a delightful boundary. I'm glad that God is marking out the runway for me and for you and for us. Yeah. I can't be everywhere because being everywhere, you're nowhere. I need to be somewhere, not everywhere. I need to be with someone, not everyone. I need to be with someone, not anyone and everyone. When you understand your boundary, and God's trying to mark out a boundary for you, you understand that the King of Heaven is part of your destiny. Your destiny is this way, not that way, that way. You can't go any way. When you're young, you try to think the world's your oyster. The world has never been your oyster. The world has never been your oyster. Passport will travel. But in God, you don't need to go everywhere. You need to be where he needs you to be. I don't need to have 25 different jobs. You just need to have a job. Be in the right place. Now you may move for promotion and things like that. But 25 jobs? Someone tells me you're a Jonah. You've had 25 jobs, that's bad luck. You know, my life I've only had 3 jobs. And one of them isn't a job, one of them's called a ministry. In all my life. He said, well, those days have gone. Not if you're in the boundary of God, they're not. God can keep companies open because you're there. I'm a witness to it. God can close companies down because you've gone. God opens churches because you're there. God closes churches down when you've gone. Be in the boundary of God. be in the boundary of God. He is the King Eternal. So, have I got your attention? Now, let's just say God has, not just let's say, we are saying, there's this wonderful thing called an inheritance, and it's fallen for us on a boundary line. Everybody with me? Do you believe you've got a glorious, delightful inheritance? And it stretches from heaven to earth. Right, why do you need it on earth? Good question, I'm glad you asked. Because your destiny needs resources, and the assignment of God upon your life needs resources. You cannot fulfill God's will for your life without resources. And God's blessing comes from his inheritance, and the inheritance is given because of the covenant. Amen? So God's given us a covenant. He's given out of that covenant, there's an inheritance. He has a people out of that who are his inheritance. You're his inheritance. Right? And he gives from one blessing, the boundary, Jesus Christ, he's the source, flows down into the church, through the church, into the saints, out of the saints, so that the world can feel the impact of what started in eternity. Yes. Am I making it clear? Thank goodness for that. So, let's say I have access and you have access to information. It's called our inheritance. Okay? But it's in a very special place. It's in a very special place. But let's call this place my computer. But my computer is in the office. So, I can only access this special information when I'm in the office, on that computer. Example. I now go home. And I have a circumstance. And I need access to the information. But my home computer can't access what's on that computer. So I'm in two different places. Now this happens regular throughout the week. And I'm thinking, maybe I just need to change office. And dovetail the whole thing in one place. Now, wouldn't that be smart? Right, that one place is inside me. So let's say heaven is the place where all the secrets and the information of the blessings are, but I'm on earth. But if I've got if I don't know that, I've always stuck in one place and I can never draw what's been given to me. So I've got to get it all in one place. So Christ has brought it into me through the seed, the imperishable seed. Amen? And he's revealing to me what's been put. So now I have it in one place now. So the more I begin to focus on what God's given to me, the more richer I feel. The more empowered I feel. The more loved I feel. The more strength I feel. Amen? Wouldn't you? So, this is how so many believers operate. God's given them everything, but they function like they only know something. God's given us everything. He's given us everything for life and for godliness. Life and for godliness. Two dimensions. Life, godliness. Amen? So, God wants to get the two zones in one. Amen? So many believers do not operate on this principle. They only operate on a fraction. So, let me illustrate this inheritance. I have two grandchildren. Well, I have three grandchildren, sorry, but I'm thinking two girls. That's what I'm thinking. Ella is 12. Yes. Harper, she's 8. I also have three children. We kept it three. We got trinities. I have three children. Scott's the eldest, Laura and Ben. So let me just use an illustration of children, and we're going to use it in the context of your inheritance. So now, there's been a sum of money or an inheritance given to the children. We all understanding this? Right. So I now go to Harper, and Harper is 8 years old. How old is she? 8 years old. And I say to Harper, Harper, blah, 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 you've been given this wonderful inheritance. And it's all yours, and you've got access to it today. What do you think, or how do you think, Harper's going to respond to that information. First of all, she's going to say, what's an inheritance? She doesn't have the concept of an inheritance. The next problem we're going to encounter is, she doesn't have a concept of value. She knows mummy and daddy need to put their hand in the pocket and spend, because she knows every time she wants an ice cream or sweets, something has to be exchanged. So she has an understanding, mum gives this man this money, I get something back. So she has an understanding of a transaction, but she doesn't understand value. Does that make sense? Right. But Harper's been given everything. She's been given this inheritance. She doesn't know. In the natural, it might come at a set date. But in this analogy, she's got it today. At 8 years of age. Now let's move it to Ella. Let's move up a gear. Now Ella is 12. How old is she? So Ella, you've now just been given an inheritance, sweetheart, and it's yours today. What do you think a 12-year-old's response is going to be to the same news? Happy? Well, it all depends on their ability to understand what you're saying. Now Ella has an understanding of money value, because she won't give her money away freely. So she has an understanding that this thing has value. But guess what she doesn't have? Wisdom. So what's she going to do? She's going to spend it on burgers, buses, and whatever else. She's a 12-year-old. She's going to go in. She's going to go down to, because I've seen her mother, they're going to go into the fashion shops, and they're going to spend things, ridiculous amounts of money on trainers and tops and stuff like that. She's going to fritter it away. Because she's 12. She doesn't know that if I hold it, and it's for my future. Amen? But the future starts today. But the future needs responsibility and wisdom and insight. Because the boundary's fallen in a good place. Now, not every time an inheritance is given, it's not always falling in a good place. Now, let's move it up a notch. Let's go to Scott. Scott's in his 30s. I say, son, blah, 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 has given you an inheritance, and it's yours today. What do you think the response is going to be? Well, first of all, Sam says, it's ours. The wife speaks and says, hey, we are now one, it's now ours. Okay, but let's just go back a second and say, what do you think Scott's response is going to be to that news that we've now been given an inheritance, and it's available today? Come on, think of a 34-year-old. Relief, joy. Now, based on the wisdom of the 34-year-old, he might be paying off all his debt. He might be clear. I'm going to say, son, if you want to be wise, invest it back into your mum and dad. That's what I'm going to say. Isn't that right, Phil? I'm going to say, you've been given this money, not by me, somebody else. Invest. I'm good soil, son. Try me out. This apple tree produced the fruit. So the tree's good. No, I'm going to watch him, and I'm going to see if he's got wisdom, if he's got stature, if he's got godliness. How he's going to receive it will determine what's already built on the inside. Now I hope that, because it can go either way. You see, the story of the prodigal son tells us that you can receive all you have today and squander it on gold, glory, and girls. And once he'd eaten and come to his senses, he found himself in the cares, riches, and pleasures department. Now you do the anagram and see what it spells. You can see all the dots being joined now, can't you? Cares, riches, and pleasures. That's exactly where he found himself. In the pigsty. Because he had no wisdom. The inheritance had fallen, but it had not fallen in a good place. But the Bible tells me that it's fallen in a good land. It's a delightful place. So, my Father wants me to have all, and wants you to have all that's been revealed today. But he also wants you to be responsible, wise. Amen? I'm trying to help you see this King Eternal. The boundary stretches from the throne room to the marketplace. So wherever you find yourself in the marketplace, the provisions in the throne room, the holy place, the teaching place, the marketplace, every place, wherever you step your foot, this boundary extends to you. You are the boundary. You are the boundary. If I step over here and I've got the favour of God, I'm the boundary. Amen? Some of you don't realise that, do you? Our inheritance can not only be drawn on a Sunday morning, because that's like going back to the illustration, it's in the office. When you leave the office, you've got to take the inheritance with you. Amen? So let's go to Romans 1:20. Romans 1:20. I want you to see this King Eternal. Understand the King Eternal, that when he gives us something, he is solid. He is solid. Romans 1:20. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. They're obvious, are they not? The earth and the sky. Through everything God made. So for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities. His invisible qualities. Now let's add to the invisible qualities his eternal power and his divine nature. So, three aspects to God: his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature. Invisible qualities, eternal power, his divine nature. You've got all three of those inside of you. And the place went very quiet. All three dimensions have been given to you. God's invisible qualities are inside of you in seed form. God's eternal power has been given to you in seed form. God's invisible qualities, divine nature has been given. Why is his divine nature given to us? So that we can reflect the nature and image of Jesus Christ. Why is he given us divine power? So that we can extend the kingdom on earth. Why has he given us invisible qualities? Because it's an internal revealing. It's an internal revealing. So, his invisible qualities, let me mark them out for you. What is God's invisible quality? Are you ready for this? First one is his omnipotence. He's omnipotent. And the word omni is a Latin word, omni meaning all potens or all powerful. God is all powerful. Amen? And it's a word that's not used in 98% of scriptures. The word normally used is Almighty God. Or God Almighty appears. But in the King James Version, it uses the word omnipotent. But more often than not, it's used in it's still the right word, but the word doesn't actually turn up in scripture. But the word translated is Almighty God, which means omnipotent. Amen? So let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. His invisible qualities is inside of you. Do you know, I can't be all places. I've tried it. I can't be in all places. I can't be in two places at the same time. But God can. Right. But guess what? What I can do is I can be in two places at once. Do you know why? I can be in the spirit and I can be on the earth. So I can be in two places, but I've not worked that out to be in three. Or four, or five. But I can be in two. I can be in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I can be on the earth while I'm in the spirit. Amen? So in Colossians 1:16, by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible.
whether thrones or powers, rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. This is showing us his omnipotent all power. He's created things in the invisible realm and the visible realm. He's a creator. Amen? So if God's created things on the earth, how many of you know he can still keep on creating things on the earth? Your destiny needs things created. There are some things, Scripture tells us, they were created long ago, and other times it's created now. So our destiny needs things created now. How are things created? By the Word. We create things by the Word. So, it says, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's his power, that's his omnipotence. He's all powerful. I'm glad I know this guy. Now, because God's omnipotence, that seed is on the inside, guess what happens? It tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:14 that by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Amen. That power has raised us from the dead. It's raised Jesus from the dead. It's raised us from the dead because he's all powerful. This is the God you and I need to understand. When we stand there and say, Father, we need to know who our Father is. And all that stands with him. Don't get him down. Don't reduce him to an emotional God. He's not. He's eternal. God doesn't stand there crying because you're crying. God's eternal. It's not that he's got no emotion. He's got compassion. He sent Jesus. But he's not sat there with a box of Kleenex. Do you know when the pandemic came out and toilet rolls, God didn't have them all up there. No. So, let's go to his omniscience. Another eternal quality. His omniscient means he's all-knowing. He's all-knowing. Woo! There ain't nothing God doesn't know. Tell God your secrets. He said, I know. Well, who told you? I know. The old joke, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your secrets. He already knows. 1 John 3:19 tells us this. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, watch this, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. He knows everything. Your darkest sin. Your most kept secret. He knows everything. Why? Because God knows everything. Woo! And then we see he's omnipresent. In other words, God is everywhere. He's everywhere. So Psalm 33:13 says this, from heaven, the Lord looked down and sees all mankind. And from his dwelling place, he watches all who live on the earth. Who's ever seen the movie Thor? You ever seen the movie Thor? And you see, Idris. And you see him sat there, it's like the father's watching over, and he's watching the world, and his eyes can pinpoint anyone on the earth. Have you seen that movie? Some of you are so spiritual, you're probably praying around about that time. I'm watching Marvel. I know what I'm doing. I'm watching Thor there. And he's watching. Well, God isn't. Let's not reduce God. God is a Marvel, but he's not in the Marvel movies. And God's watching. His eyes are watching. His eyes are on the sparrow. His eyes are on you. And he tells us, don't worry. If I can take care of the sparrow, I can take care of you. God's eyes are always on us. You can't turn around and say, God, turn around. Because if he turns around, he's on the other side. Think about it. If he turns around, he's everywhere. He's not just three dimensions. Don't limit into three dimensions. Whatever, how many dimensions there are, God's there. And more besides. So we see Psalm 139. Now you'll know this scripture and you've probably read it. Psalm 39 verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? The answer is nowhere. If I go up to the heavens, You're there. So if I make my bed on the depths of the earth, you're there. Where can I go for your spirit? Nowhere. Because I'm everywhere. I'm everywhere and nowhere, baby. Some of you don't know that song, okay. I lost you last week, didn't I? Well, not last week, the week before on the other song. That's it, Jimmy Ruffin, What Becomes of a Broken Hearted. You still haven't listened to it, you girls, have you? You did? You like it? No. But at least you listened to it. Well done, Pendo, well done. How can you not like it? See, the songs have fallen on a bad boundary line there, haven't they? If I make my bed on the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of a dawn, I settle on the far side of the sea. Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. There's nowhere I'm getting out. I'm in, he's in, and that's good for me. It's a good boundary. Because the consciousness of God makes me aware that God's everywhere. So there's nothing I can do that he doesn't know. There's nowhere I can get lost. Sometimes I get lost. I get lost inside my own soul. I can get lost in my own mind. You might tell me to get lost. And if you tell me to get lost, I still know where I am. But sometimes I'm the one who gets lost internal. And God goes into the dark. And the deep calls to deep. Tony, come out, son. And he pulls me out the deep. Inside my soul, where no therapist can get to, but only God's word can cut right through the dark and says, hey, and he puts his hand out, he says, come out! Where can I go to? And I can go to some dark places, and I can go to some miserable places, but God's there. Amen? And that word that's in there goes into joint and marrow and sinews, and it begins to find me and root me out and pull me out. Ooh, that's the King Eternal. Because the inheritance has fallen on a delightful boundary line. I'm not the San Andreas fault. I don't shake and I don't crack open. But what I am is a good boundary line. And I like the fact that God, no matter how lost I get, the word that's in me can come and find me. God speaks to his word. He says, go and find him. Go and find her. Bring him out. Bring them out. And sometimes the word is spoken from the external and it goes on to the internal. Other times you hear the still small voice. Tony, come out. I am the Lord. Come out. God can bring earthquakes from within. God can bring earthquakes from without. God knows where you are. He'll find you. If you trust in him. That's why, where can I go from your spirit? Lord, I cry out to you, Lord. I'm lost. Where are you? Find me, Lord. He goes straight in. Why? Because he stood there, looking. There's mine. There's mine. She's moving in the wrong area. Holy Ghost, angels, down. Bring her back online. I love that about God. I love that about God. I love his omniscience. I love his omnipresence. I love his omnipotence. This is the invisible qualities of our God. I want you to know he's got invisible qualities. And just because they're invisible, they are working on the inside. Do you know this God? Do you know this God? Can that word go deep into your heart and pull you out and find you when you're lost? Amen? Woo! His invisible qualities. Then we see he's got his divine power. His divine power. As if that wasn't enough. His divine power now comes and rests on us. 2 Peter 1:3 says his divine power has given. In other words, he's paid it forward. He's given us, and what I like about this verse is he's given us everything we need, he says. We need. For what? For life. One dimension. Godliness. Amen? So he's not giving it us just for one dimension, so we all have to wait for it, for godliness, and we live on eternity. No, you need it now. For life. And for to be godly in your life. With your life. Amen? Are you glad that God's already seen what you need and sent the resources ahead of time? Woo! Watch this. How does it come to us, Edna? Through our knowledge of him. Through our knowledge of him, This is how we know what's been made available through our knowledge. So we have to grow in our knowledge of God. We have to grow in our knowledge. Some of us have never grown beyond a Sunday sermon. Some of you have not read a book, a Christian book, other than your secular studies or your work. We are a nation who stop reading. So when we stop reading, we stop learning. And when we stop learning, we stop knowing. And when we stop knowing, we start going backwards. You must have a life plan for your learning. Now, let's just say, I know it's common within the students, and they'll tell me, the thing called a gap year. But as you get older, you take gap years, but it goes for 20, 30 years. Now, I understand the gap year. They're fed up of studying. They think, I just want to get away from studying for a period of time, give my brain some rest, and give my heart some joy. And they go and experiment for a year, whatever that means to a student. But then they come back and they reconnect with the studies and they finish them through and they go and do the jobs. But the trouble is, in the church, we've got 30, 40, 50 year gaps. Well, the last time we learned is when we went to school. The last time we learned is when we had to learn something new for a job we were doing. But that's not what God wants us. God wants us to be ever learning. Because as we keep learning, we keep growing, and we keep growing, we keep knowing. And if we can know, we can do. And we can become. Amen? Now, everyone's got their likes and their dislikes. You like books, you might have a propensity to lean towards a certain subject. Fine. But if you really want to know, show yourself wise, your book collection should have a variety of subjects. It should. Go upstairs in my office. You'll find all kinds of books. Why? Because you're complicated. I need to understand you. I need to understand myself. Sometimes I look in the mirror and think, I don't understand you. Carol says, I don't understand you. I need to understand you. You need to understand me. And so I like to read. This is a lad that never liked reading. Someone gave me a book once. Can you imagine this? Someone gave me a book. And it was My Father is a Gardener by Colin Urquhart. No, In Christ Jesus by Colin Urquhart. It was Jackie Price. She gives me a book. I'd never read a book in my life. I promised that I would read it. I don't like reading. And I shoved it in my pocket and it rained and the book got soaked. And I thought, oh my days. And I've already made a promise to her. So I had to go and buy the book. Can you believe it? I had to go and buy a book. I had to read it. Just so I could go back to her and say, yeah, I liked it, I didn't like it. And this book turned me inside out. And I was in my factory and I threw the book down the factory. I was so angry with what it was saying. And I went out. This is no lie. This is God is my witness. I'm in a loud factory. And I goes out and I throws the book. And I said, God, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. And I'm walking out the door and I hear this voice saying, you dare. I heard an audible voice of God over all this machinery. And I ran to the back of the machinery and I hid under the table like Jonah did. That's my first encounter with the audible voice of God. If she hadn't given me that book, I would never have been on the path I am today. I've gone from reading books to writing them. To reading them, to writing them, to read them, to write. I love books. But one day, it had to confront me. Son, I know your future. I've seen your inheritance and it's fallen on a good place. But right now, son, you're not in that place. So somebody had to sow a book into my future in Christ Jesus. Because guess what? That's where I still am. In Christ Jesus. So his divine nature. Let's move this thing on quickly. His divine nature. Ever believe you've got part of the divine nature inside of you? Albeit sometimes, I look at my kids sometimes, I think they've got the demonic nature in them. Because sometimes, I mean, you know, kids can be little devils. Yes, we love them. It's an affectionate term. We're not saying they are devils, we're not saying they've got demons. Just an affectionate term. Don't write to me. I don't read. Not those kind of emails, anyway. So, 2 Peter 1:4. Through these, what? This is the window now. Through these circumstances, through this knowledge, through this wisdom, through these, he has given us his great, his very great, precious promises. Now you all like that part, don't you? So that through them, you may participate. In other words, get involved. What in? In the divine nature. You may get involved, participate, step into, become part of the divine nature. God's divine nature is living inside of you. So, I'm looking at angels this morning. Watch this. Why do I need the divine nature? So I can escape the corruption of the world. Without his divine nature, I get swallowed up by the carnality, by the corruption, and by the emphasis of this world. Because it's a system governed by spirits. And God's saying, the world is going to hell. So therefore, we need to get out there and bring the message of the gospel. But don't be swallowed up by it. By the carnality, by the where the world's going. Don't be consumed by the desires of this world. I've given you my divine nature so that you can escape it. Very difficult for young people to try and escape. Because young people want to fit in. And start, you know, and they want to be find their own identity. So to find their identity, they think they've got to become part of something to find that. We've all done it. And many of us can say, what a mess it brought to our lives. But when you're a believer and you're thinking, well, you know what? I'm a Christian and I've been in this church 15 years and I've never known what it's like on the other side. Because my mum and dad always brought me to church and I've always been Miss Goody Two Shoes. So now there's this resentment that says, I just want to be naughty. I want to go and try some life. Why is it I always have to be Mrs. Goody Two Shoes, should say? Mum's brought you to try and bring you into something and keep you away from something that brought her misery. But the kid says, no, I need to experiment. So the kid goes over, the prodigal son, goes over and says, hey, what's it like on this side? And I'm using you because you're young. What's it like? And then all of a sudden we realise one day, I've been eating the cares, riches and pleasures. And mum never stopped praying, but you stopped listening to mum. And then one day, you don't want to go, I don't want to submit to mum and prove to her she's right. That's the last thing I need to hear. Mum's right. Mum says, I don't need you to prove that I'm right. I know I'm right. Why? Because there's one thing you can't do. I've been where you've been, but you've not been where I've been. And I'm trying to keep you and keep your destiny because I know the boundaries have fallen on a good place. And when I see my kids over there, I realize part of my inheritance is going wrong. So then I have to start praying, God, I know my family. You've said salvation for my family. And a parent starts interceding and aches for the kids because they see the kids are in the foreign land. And it aches, it puts pain and stress. Listen, I'm talking as a father who's got two kids who used to come to this church. And I see the lifestyles they've got into. And the heart of the father says, this is not my inheritance. This is not their destiny. And this right now sucks and I hate it. And I see my kids in that field, cares, riches and pleasure. But guess what? There's a moment that has to take place in this side. And it's this. And he came to his senses. Oh, but that's not the only way. That's not enough. Coming to your senses is not the same as coming to the end of your ways. Coming to the end of your ways is the next step from coming to your senses. I may know what mum's saying is right, but I may not have the will to go and do and move in that direction. So he came to his senses and he thought, what am I doing here? I'm eating cares, riches and pleasures in a pigsty. And he made his way back. Why? Now the inheritance is starting to come back online again. And the joy comes into a mother and father's heart. His divine power. Why is that divine power? Why am I saying that? Because the divine power was displayed through prayer. And intercession. And the divine power went up. And God heard the prayers.
came over here, touched, or wherever, over here, it's not just these because they're young, it can be anyone. Don't think I'm just you, I'm not, you know that. You know, all of y'all. And then all of a sudden God begins to shape your life. And then all of a sudden you respond and you don't know mum was in the prayer room, in the war room. Dad was in the war room, shaking the heavens. Lord, send an earthquake. Send an angel. Lord, and then the mum starts drawing on the resources of the eternal God. You said this, you said that, Lord. I call on your eternal power. I bind you, Satan. And she now starts bringing all the bazookas out, the guns, everything, all the spiritual weaponry and armoury, because mum knows how to fight for kids. Yeah? And she starts fighting and she starts pulling out. She starts drawing on the eternal resources in the now. She doesn't say, I'm going to the office. She's in the office. And she starts fighting and wrestling for the kids. And kids, meanwhile, we don't know what the kids are up to. They're going wild. Then all of a sudden God says, now's the time to act. I've seen a desperate mother. You're ready to give birth. The waters are about to break. And then when the waters begin to break, then all of a sudden, whatever, it's Jimmy or Sally, Rosie, whatever her name is, his name is, all of a sudden they come to their senses. And then they make the way back. Amen. But before they get to mum, they've got to get back to father. Yeah. Father's the center. Am I speaking to anyone this morning? Amen. If you don't know where your kids are, get to know where you are, where they are. They won't tell you. You don't need to know what they've been doing. Sense it by the Spirit. Kids will never tell you what they've been doing. Did you tell your mother and dad? No. And then there's a code amongst brothers and sisters. Don't tell mum and dad. They do. Is that not right? Swear you won't tell mum and dad. So mum and dad says, where's Sally? I don't know. They're lying right in front of you. Because it's called kids' code. We don't tell mum and dad. If they say they're spiritual, let them get discernment and find out. It's true. We've all been there. The things I got up to. I'm still getting up to. So, through these, he's given us his very great precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort. Make every effort to add. What do we need to add? I'm glad you asked. To your faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive, amen, in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to grow in your knowledge. Ooh. Galatians 6:8 says this, that the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature he will reap. So when our kids go AWOL, didn't even sound right. When our kids go AWOL, what they're doing, they're sowing to please their nature. But when mum's on the other side, pounding the gates of hell, knocking on heaven, what does the Bible say? When a persistent woman knocks on the door, how can I ignore it? Yeah? So when mum's going, Uzi 9mm, pulling out the guns, you know, to heaven, boom, 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 God says, you know what? You never seen Arnie Schwarzenegger? Give him 9mm, Uzi 9mm. Yeah, it's the gospel according to the movies. You really need to go to the movies sometime. Yeah? Run to the chopper. I don't know if that's German, but it just sounds good. Yeah, Austrian German, yeah. That's me Manx German. The one who sows to please his sinful nature,
from that nature will reap destruction, but the one who sows to please the Spirit, whoosh, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. That's where the boundary has fallen. Eternal life. I want to give every parent hope. Pull out your Uzi 9mm. Draw on the omnipotence, the omniscience, the divine, eternal, the invisible qualities of God that's living inside of you. Step into the office called the Spirit and begin to fight for what's in your boundaries, what's been allotted to you. Fight for Jack. It's the only way. There's a fight on for a generation. There's a fight for our kids. We love you so much. You'll never understand the pain of a parent when we see our kids, and the joy of a parent when we see our kids respond. Because you are a blessing from the Lord. Can you believe it? Kids, those little devils, are a blessing from the Lord. You make us cry. Certainly when you ask us for money. Money talks in our house. It says goodbye. Kids are a blessing from the Lord. So when we fight for our kids, it's because we believe this is the inheritance God's given to us. Oh, there's nothing like a parent to fight for the kids. And you know, those who know me know I've had to fight in some strange battles when two of my kids have almost been at the end of death. So when I sense death and smell it, Uzi 9mm. It's there. So, let's bring it. There's another quality that you may not have heard of, and it's called the immutability. The immutability. Not mutant. Immutability. And it's a superpower. It's a superpower. Just like his divine nature is. Just like his eternal power is. Just like his invisible qualities. These are superpowers that no Batman has. No Superman. No Hulk. Iron Man. Whatever. Catwoman. Whatever you want to use. But these superpowers have been given to you and I. Through the seed. Because it means, watch this. It means God does not change. There is no variation in God. Why is that important? Well, if you come to me tomorrow, I might not be in the mood you found me today. Is that fair? Depending on what's gone on in my life, you may find me top form or middle. But the Bible says he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. That's immutability right there. God is steadfast. He hasn't got a mood swing on him. He's not taking tablets. He's not seen the football results and saw City got beat. He's not affected by that kind of stuff. God is steadfast. Which gives me hope. I have a strong platform to work from. It's always going to be reliable, on point. Can you see this? I'm telling you today, this mortal is telling you immortals, right, that your God is immutable. You can trust him. You can go to him and he'll be the same today, yesterday, and forever. In fact, scripture tells us God is not a God that he should lie. Nor should the Son of Man, that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act, says Numbers 23:19? Does he speak and not act? No. Does he promise and not fulfill? You know that, Paul. That little bundle of joy that runs around like a little devil. Call Joshua, even give it a biblical name. Did he not speak? Did he not fulfill? Did your inheritance not fall in a good place? Yes. I have received a command to bless. He is blessed and I cannot do anything to change it. So, Your last scripture, Proverbs 8:15. I want to sow this into you. We've read a lot of scripture today. You've been given a lot. Why? Because the table is full. There's no food crisis in heaven. Amen? This is not Iceland's, Aldi, Marks and Spencer's. We don't need an advert out there. Food's on the table. All I say to you is bring your knife and fork and your own plate. Now, by me, kings, by me, kings reign. And rulers make laws that are just. By me, princes govern and nobles who rule the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honour, enduring wealth and prosperity. Now, all the charismatics get to that verse. But let's go on. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice. Mel, you walk along the paths of justice, not injustice. Bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasures full. Oh, it gets better. Watch this. The Lord, now read this with me. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity. That's where we start. That's our point of reference. Oh. You brought me forth when you created. So what have I been saying to you? You cannot, if you don't know what God's created, you cannot receive what God has spoken. And if you cannot receive what God has spoken, you will not receive what God has given. I was brought forth from eternity. That's my place of operation. Okay, gets better, let's finish. From the beginning, before the world began. From the beginning, before the world began. From the beginning. Before the world began. I began in eternity. I am mortal, immortal. Through the Christ seed alive in me. I'm not God. You're not God. But God's in me. And God's in you. But you're not God. Don't ever mistaken. You're not God. But I have Christ alive in me. And because I have Christ in me, I've been given his nature. So that the sons of men can become like the sons of God. You're not God. But you can become like him through his divine nature. Amen? When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there was no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. You want your identity? That's it. I was given birth. So when you look in your mirror, this divine nature, his eternal power, his invisible qualities, he brought me forth before the beginning of the earth. I was there. Woo-hoo. You can't buy this. Before he made the earth and the fields and any dust of the world, I was there. When he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizons on the face of the deep, which he established, the clouds above, the fixed, securely, the fountains of the deep, I was there. Sounds like Max Boyce, doesn't it? I was there. Some of you don't know who Max Boyce is. You get an history lesson when you're with me. In songs, movies. Verse 29. When he gave the sea its boundary, so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighted in mankind. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Be blessed. Blessed are those who keep my ways. I tell you what, you've had a feast this morning. Stand to our feet if you will. Let me read you my declaration. I meant to put it on a slide and I forgot all about it. But here's my declaration I put forward. So put your hands on your heart. I'm going to read my declaration to you. And if you want this declaration, I will send it to you. I said to you last week, you're not ready to make it because I wanted to get to this place. And when you hear this declaration, you may say, that's my declaration. That's where I'm coming. God has sent me to tell you, tell my people to start living from eternity. That's where they began. You didn't start when you came out the womb. You was conceived in heaven. He brought you out before it all began. And said, he'll be born through her, she'll be born through her, blah, blah, blah. And he arranged, go to Acts 19, it says, and God selected where people would live, the time zones, everything. God's arranged it all. So, I am chosen from eternity. Just close your eyes. I am chosen from eternity. This is where I was initially conceived. I have divinely been included through the foreknowledge of God into the eternal purposes of Almighty God. I was born with eternity in my heart. I have received all of eternity's love, its power and its authority. I have received it through the imperishable seed, received through faith and through my good confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. I live, move, and have my being with eternity fixed into my heart, fixed into my thinking, and with it flowing through all of my actions, as it literally has become the air that I breathe. I determinedly choose to partake of my eternal inheritance as spiritually, legally, through Christ, I am able to draw on God's eternal resources in the here and now of the human spiritual life. I am mortal. I am immortal. I have two distinct natures alive inside of me. One is human, biological, the other is spiritual, indestructible, imperishable, as it is the DNA life seed of Christ himself. One day my mortal body will return to the dust of the field, but my immortal spirit, however, will not die. It will live on in the eternal presence of Almighty God. Until that moment, I will continue to walk by faith and not by sight. I will run my race finishing strong, knowing that the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, will not only wholeheartedly receive me as I finish, but will be ready to surround me with his glory forever and ever. Amen. This is my confession. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the strength, the potency, the accuracy, Father, of your word. And I pray, Father, Lord, for an impartation into this room this morning. Let heaven is only one thought away. That's how close these two dimensions live side by side. The invisible is just a thought away, and the moment I think about it, it becomes visible to me. Yes. Through the Spirit. I have the ability to tap in to cable, satellite, whatever you want to call it. And the Lord Almighty wants to give you a portion this morning. He says, children, live by the eternal dimension, and you will not gratify the sinful nature. Live by where it began, not where it now is. Draw from me, because I'm eternal, I'm everlasting. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's your home, that's your place. In Jesus' name.
Come on, let's just thank him right now. Thank you, Father, for your eternal word. Thank you for the word, oh God. Oh, Father, through the mighty name of Jesus. Sharababa koryanda. Silemaramama koryondo lama satarianda. Rebaramama kotoryonda lama sarianda. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Shukarababa sarianda. Ooh. The Lord release you with blessings and peace and eternity in your hearts. Come on, let's give the Lord a standing ovation. God bless you.